following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 229, recorded on Thursday, September 28th, 2017. My name's Dave Nelson, alongside Mr. Brad Ludwig. Hello, Bradley.
Hello.
Coming up on this episode, Alien Shock, real footage of an autopsy on a Roswell alien exists. It has emerged. And scientists believe aliens exist as super intelligent tech with no physical boundaries. All that plus our sighting and picks. But first, the question.
Dave?
Huh?
Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
Okay, Brad, you are getting married next year. That's still going on, right? Okay.
Oh, that's still happening.
Okay. So if you could go to a extraterrestrial planet, either in real life or fiction, for your honeymoon, which would it be and why? See, this is sort of a version of a question that I asked on an earlier episode, if you could vacation somewhere, but slightly different because a honeymoon, you want a certain kind of vibe, right? You have different criteria for a honeymoon than you would for just a regular vacation.
Okay. We'll go with that premise. I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound weird, but I will explain it after I say it.
Okay, lay it on me.
Hoth.
Oh, a lot of snow.
Now, I believe it is Norway or Sweden. They have, it's a vacation sort of a destination where you can basically rent a glass igloo of sorts, and because there are auroras and things like that at night, you are basically sleeping in a big glass dome.
Oh, I've seen pictures and or video of that.
And it is very dark. You'll be able to see the stars, and if there are auroras, there's a very good chance you're going to see those. And I think that as much as Anessa and I love the stars and love auroras, I think that would be wonderful. So my answer would be Hoth, with the hopes that, now that is assuming that Hoth has a very star-dense sky where it's at, and it has auroras. So there is a qualifier, but that is what I would choose.
Also, the infrastructure to have these,
there is that,
these beautiful suites. You know, hopefully the Empire doesn't intrude on your honeymoon. Maybe you get there to a point where the Empire and the Rebellion kind of have cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, I think after the Empire got its butt kind of whooped a bit there, and things kind of were in a bit of a shambles on their part, I think that there was probably some vacationing to areas that probably were not able to be occupied before.
Developers came in, they built a resort.
Heavy renovations, fixing that damage, creating jorbs, fixing the stuff, yeah.
They have somebody out there with a high-powered rifle to fend off or to scare off the Banthas, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Good answer, Brad. I'm going to also give an answer because my wife and I have never had a honeymoon. We never went after we got married. So maybe someday we'll have a honeymoon. And my pick for it is going to be the world from Avatar. Known as, the name is escaping me. Help me out. What's it called?
Pandora.
Pandora, thank you. I should know that because that's one of my wife's favorite places to go is a
and
Pandora
you and
stone.
Your wife could pan for unobtainium.
Ooh, okay. All right. It's getting better all the time. And then we can go into the woods, the forest, and those weird, we could make love like the natives with the branches
sure,
from the trees.
That makes sense.
I don't know if that would be compatible with our physiology, but we could try.
You know, for those of you who are checking us out on YouTube, I found the website that I was talking about with the glass igloos, and it is a resort. And you get beds, and you can
beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous, and I would totally do that. They're 4-person igloos, include their own toilet and shower.
Wow.
But there is a main lodge where you could go and get meals. And the Northern Lights, it's available for booking during the Northern Lights season beginning around the 24th of August until the end of April. So, of course, we're getting married June 30th, which
well, delay the honeymoon a little
not
bit.
In that window of opportunity.
Okay.
We would have to wait until August 24th for the honeymoon, and I'm not sure that we would do that.
Well, something in the future to think about, another vacation to take.
Absolutely.
In the news.
Alien shock. Real footage of an autopsy on a Roswell alien exists, and it has emerged.
Okay, that's enough. Don't want YouTube to take us down. Okay, go ahead.
British businessman Ray Santilli, 58, who was responsible for distributing the hoax autopsy film, contacted express.co.uk. Go figure that's where this would come from. Mr. Santilli, who is the CEO of Orbital Media Group, maintains the 1995 film is based on genuine footage. He said, I maintain the original film was real, and as stated, we restored and recreated elements of the film. He said not everyone involved with the production of the film was aware of the alleged genuine footage, which is understood to have been discovered, wait for it, in Florida.
Of course.
That's anything that would have happened in Roswell would, of course, have ended up in Florida. Mm-hmm. Mr. Santilli said the team used were employed on a need-to-know basis and were never privy to the entire story. They only knew what they were commissioned to work on. The team were all the very talented and best in their field. They reported how Spyros Melaris, who was hired by Mr. Santilli and film producer Gary Sheffield to make the black and white film, told his story of his involvement in a one-man West End show. Because if you're going to get the message out, you want to be on the British version of Broadway, or perhaps Broadway is the British, the American version of the
no,
West End.
Yeah, West End. That's a popular theater
first,
district. Yeah, yeah.
He went on to say that he viewed what was described as the original footage. Another gentleman by the last name of Watson says that I was shown by Ray Santilli and Gary Sheffield the VHS copy of a very grainy, poor quality bit of footage of an alleged alien autopsy. They decided it was not of commercial value in its current state. Hence, the recreation. So Mr. Watson said that he was left with an impression that what he saw was the original footage, and he has no idea where that is now or what Ray Santilli did with it. But of course, now Ray says that, the footage was found in Florida.
Okay, back
he
up.
He confirmed. Oh, sorry.
I'm a little bit confused. Okay.
Yes.
So there was actual footage of a real life autopsy of
correct.
A real extraterrestrial, but
correct.
Then they recreated it.
Correct. Because the footage They had a VHS copy of a black and white film that was of poor quality as well. So it was poor quality down the line, and they're saying it didn't have any commercial viability because you couldn't really see good detail in the alien and the autopsy that was taking place in this alleged real footage. So they decided to recreate the footage by making a fake alien, hiring actors who were the doctors performing the autopsy and the whole nine yards.
And that's the one that we saw on Fox back in the 90s.
Hosted by William Frakes, yes.
You mean Jonathan Frakes?
Jonathan Frakes, same, Will Riker,
Will
same
Riker,
guy.
Yep, you're confusing his real and fictional names. That's great.
I combined them both.
That's awesome.
I was hit in the head and dropped as a child.
This is an interesting story. So are they going to do something with it, or have other people seen the actual footage?
You know, if people want to find out more about it, because I didn't want to take express.co.uk's thunder, they can go to the express.co.uk article, which we'll have in the show notes, and they can see the entire story.
So some context to that film that we've known was fake for a very long time. That's based on a real thing. Okay, got it. If we only knew that back in 1995.
Well, they were still making money on it, so they had to milk that cow until there was very little to pull from it, as it were. And now they've re-stimulated interest for people that maybe saw it a long time ago and barely remember it, or people who haven't seen it and are interested in seeing this fake footage or recreated footage, as the case may be.
Those of us who have seen it, that watched it live, can rewatch it with a new light showing on it, kind of.
Exactly.
New perspective. Did you watch it back in the day when it was the live broadcast?
Yeah.
Did you believe it, or did you go, oh, fake, fake, fake?
I was left with questions. To me, it seemed like when they were cutting into it, it acted like cutting into rubber. It was grippier than it should have been on the blade that they were using to open it. And I'm not saying that because I'm secretly a serial killer. It's just that I've managed to work with lots of rubber and plastics and cutting it, and I kind of know how it looks when you cut and how it reacts with a blade. I built signs for a living as well, so I mean I've handled a lot of different material. In fact, to this day, if I see a sign that is within reach or something that interests me, I will actually walk up to it and knock on it and listen to it and try to identify the material based on the sound that it gives.
Nerd!
Yeah, I'm a huge sign nerd, and I'm more than willing to admit that. And I'm more than willing to admit that people go, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, it's cool, dude. I was a sign person. Professional.
He's special.
And I was dropped as a child, so there are still issues.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number, area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
Scientists believe aliens exist as super intelligent tech with no physical boundaries. They're in the Matrix, man.
What?
Artificial intelligence may have existed in our universe for eons and experienced life in a way that humans cannot understand, Susan Schneider of the University of Pennsylvania has claimed. What else does Susan Schneider have to say? Well, let's find out.
She suggested aliens are likely to exist as supercomputers because when life creates the technology to travel the universe, it is only a few hundred years away from having the ability to upload its consciousness. I'm going to argue that we would probably have the technology to upload ourselves before we could travel the universe. Like, I could see that happening ahead of interstellar, intergalactic travel. Don't you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're not that far away from it now. This short window theory means any intelligent life we encounter is likely to be AI and not biological.
Dun, dun, dun.
She further supports her argument that aliens exist in the form of artificial intelligence with the suggestion that an alien civilization would likely be much older than ours. You know what this reminds me of? Is a certain book by a certain author that we both know by the name of J.F. Dubow. His first book.
A Life Engineered?
Yes. Because humans uploaded their consciousness into these robots and humanity died off long time ago before the events of the book. And this sounds very similar to that plot.
Perhaps JF is owed some royalties for this.
Maybe. Despite having only sent our first radio signals around 120 years ago, humans now spend much of their lives immersed in digital technology. The age of their civilization will likely mean they would have moved their consciousnesses? Sure. From an inferior carbon-based to a silicon form. Silicon is capable of storing and processing information much faster than the human brain, which peaks at 200 hertz, seven orders of magnitude slower than a computer chip. Meanwhile, astrophysicist Paul Davies, that name sounds super familiar, like we've had him in an article before. Brad, does that
sound familiar? Yeah, it does sound familiar.
Yeah. He suggests alien technology may not be made of physical matter. Billion-year-old alien technology may exist on a third level that cannot be observed by humans. That technology might have no fixed size or shape or defined boundaries. It may be operating across time and space, or it may appear to do nothing at all, Mr. Davies suggests. So he's leaving it open to a lot of possibilities there. He's not getting too specific with his criteria for his theory right there. So how do you feel about this theory, these theories?
They're very interesting. It's all possible, but, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah,
there's no
way of proving it at this point.
No.
But it makes sense, though. Like, if you want your species to continue on after your eventual die-off in some way, like we're dealing with possible environmental catastrophe in the next, you know, 100 years. If we want our society to continue after all that, it would make sense to put us into some kind of computer, bury it in a mountain, or put it into space and see what happens. You know, maybe we'll survive millions, thousands to millions of years.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, you're lucky if you can get your phone to last more than 2 years. So I have little to no faith in uploading my consciousness into a computer and hoping that some IT person, you know, 1.2 million years from now will be able to turn off and turn on my particular machine that I'm in and reboot my consciousness. I really don't hold hope for that.
Brad's not coming online. Did you turn it off and turn it back on again? Oh, okay.
Did you kick it twice?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very possible. I think that we have the capacity to build things that are far more durable, but we are in a consumer-driven economy, and if people aren't buying things, then the economy is not moving forward. So if we were to do away with that and actually be willing to pay for things that will last more than 2 years, I would have more faith in that. But our current situation, I don't think that will work.
This may be the case of government intervention. Like, we know the world's coming to an end. So desperate times, desperate measures. Like what happened like during the Second World War, right? Like all those scientists came together to create the atomic bomb, which we used to defeat the Empire of Japan. Maybe we'll get to a point where we're going to totally die off. There's nothing we can do about it. But we want our civilization to live on. Best and brightest minds, do it. Figure it out.
I could see that happening in Canada. At the risk of getting political, I do not see that happening in our environment.
You know, it would happen by private corporations. It'd be like Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk. It'd be all those guys figuring it out.
And this is not a knock on America. This is just, I'm stating facts. If it were to happen, it would happen for people who have a lot of money who would be able to afford such service. I would not be able to do that. So I have zero illusions that I will be able to magically project my consciousness millions of years into the future because I've been shoved into some kind of machine. That is not going to happen to me because I do not have that kind of money.
If you disagree with what Brad has to say, aliens.
Or think he's a socialist, email us.
aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncast.com. You can call our voicemail number, 805-328-3966. Bring on the feedback. Come on.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
This had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
Appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
What I have for us this time is something that somebody had seen March of 2011 in Buenos Aires. They're saying that the sighting time was 7 p.m. and the number of witnesses were the whole town.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
The craft was triangular in shape and having a bright light on each of the angles. They say that the craft looked a little bigger than most stars in the sky. Now, the description of the area, it's a small town, and they have two military bases, more like military airports. So we are used to seeing military airplanes and helicopters, and we are sure these new sightings are not any of that. And yes, there is an electrical power plant too, and a very large woods-like area next to it. Other than this, it's a normal place, a small town surrounded by two highways. So for more insight into this, the person writes, I live with my husband in a house located in a small town in the outskirts of Buenos Aires City. Ever since March 2011, many neighbors from my town have been witnessing strange lights in the sky. Our city is still smog-free, and we are used to a starry sky at night. We like to spend family time in our backyards in the evening and usually show the kids all the stars and teach them their names and all of that. There are two small military airports near our town, and seeing helicopters and small planes is very common. This particular form that they have people fill out, there is a summary section, and then there is a full description.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I try to weed out the summary, but I did not succeed this time. Okay, here we go. Like I was saying, since last March 2011, we have started seeing strange flying objects in our beautiful sky. First, they were only visible from around 6 p.m. until dawn, and after some time, they were also visible during the day. Most people started video shooting what they saw and even created a blog where they exchange their opinions and share their videos and photos.
Wow.
We are sure these weird lights are not airplanes or helicopters, but we cannot tell what they exactly are either. Last May 2011, we finally got a TV channel to come to our town so we could share what we have been experiencing the past few months. And as the reporter was delivering the news, one of these objects flew right behind her. Now, there is a link to a YouTube video, which hopefully is still good. I am going to, for the viewers who are actually watching this, I am going to shift over so you can see what I'm seeing. Unfortunately, I don't have this set up so you can hear the audio. And
oh, wow. Holy cow. That's amazing.
And then a nice big close-up.
Huh.
So for those of you who are hearing us go, oh, wow, check that out. And you're listening to the audio podcast. Something very quickly kind of shot through. They were kind of in a, not necessarily suburban, but it almost seemed like outskirts of a nice city block area with a lot of trees. And it looked like behind the reporter and off to her right, in between some of the trees, an object kind of shot right by. It's very interesting. But it happens so quickly, you don't really, of course, get to see a whole lot of detail.
But that's something that you don't normally see in the sky. It's something very unusual. It's not an airplane for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there is another video, and I'm going to, again, I apologize to our audio listeners, but I'm going to kind of quickly play this bit. This is from a security camera that was in the area, in this particular town. The reporting team showed up to talk to the folks that work at this place who oversee the cameras, and they actually have a bit of footage of these objects flying around at night, which is even more interesting. And they're zooming way in and kind of enhancing it.
Looks like a saucer.
It almost looks like a jellyfish.
Yeah.
With how they've zoomed in. Or a Portuguese man of war with that one particular object, and then one object kind of shoots past it.
It's flying like the footage of the reporter. I mean, it's...
Yeah, exactly. That kind of same trajectory. But the only thing that seems kind of suspicious about it is it's being pulled down by gravity. So it's like kind of going down at an angle of like, say, maybe a 60 degrees or something like that. Not a steep angle by any means, but it is angling downwards as it moves across the screen. So that's the video footage that we have, and I can still hear the audio, so I'm going to, there we go.
We'll put the links to those videos in the show notes, and you can also watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/galacticnetcasts.
Correct. And to finish out the report here, the person that wrote this says that her sister took a photo of one of these flying objects using her small Sony camera, and when she zoomed it in, she saw three fire-like balls forming a triangle. She took it from her Facebook account. Unfortunately, the report that I have does not include the photo that she had sent with this original form. I do have a link to the blog, and I just want to see if it's still active. And yes, it is. We'll also include that in the show notes as well. It's in Spanish, but I can help translating if you need. Again, this is the person reporting this to the website. One of the final questions on this form: can sighting be explained as any conventional man-made or natural object? And the response is, oh, these are definitely not planes or helicopters. They can fly at very high speeds, then stay still for several minutes. Their lights blink sometimes and change their colors. And this person says that she is 29, she's married, working in the corporate world. until she gets a job related to her studies. She's a graduate radio and TV host announcer in Argentina. And there you go. We'll have a link to the report so you can see the full thing. We did truncate it a bit so that we didn't inundate you with stuff or take up too much time. But yeah, because we have the videos, definitely check out the show notes for this, and you'll be able to see these videos and check out the blog that they put together. So
I have to say, it's one of the more intriguing sightings we've had for a long time.
Yeah, far better than the repeated boot one that I've managed to throw out now twice. So, yeah, this works a lot better.
I want to believe.
If you enjoy the Alien Invasion and would like to do more than just subscribe and listen, please consider becoming a partner with us. Go to gncasts.com/support. And click on the Patreon link. We have different levels, and they all have rewards. You got your one, you got your three, and you got your $5 a month. And some of the things that you can get, your name mentioned on our show. You could get a bonus podcast at least once a month, or even have a whole message that you wrote read by one of us. You know, maybe you have a birthday, you want to wish somebody a happy birthday, or you have a book coming out. If you want a message read on not just this podcast, but all of the Galactic Network shows, become a partner with us. Again, go to gncasts.com/support, and we thank you in advance.
The galaxy far, far away feels closer now than ever before, and your guides through this galaxy are ready to help. I'm Zach Hagenbusher, one half of the new Jedi Archives podcast with Ben Schultz. Join us every other Tuesday for our experiences with the Star Wars saga, from the core films that we know and love, well, you know, some of them, to the annals of history and the works that shaped Star Wars into what we know it as today. Just jump in wherever you'd like. Download an episode of the new Jedi Archives today.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we?
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
These are things that we have watched, listened to, read, made, played, whatever, all related to extraterrestrials and alien life in some way. And I will start this week, Brad. I found a YouTube video called 5 Freakiest Leaked Videos of Aliens and Alien Life. I love these kind of videos. You know, they're short, they get to the point, they're lists. People love lists, right?
So, heck yeah.
If you like lists as much as I do, then you'll love this video. So, I won't run down all of them because, you know, I don't want to spoil the video for you. We'll have the link in the show notes. The first one I thought was the most interesting, and I think we've talked about this before on a previous episode, or you've seen the video of this. It's the KGB aliens. And it's probably the most authentic looking because they even set it up in the video like some of these may be faked, but we're not sure. Some of them do look more fake than the others, but this one, of all the videos I've seen in this particular video or other videos I've seen in the past, is the most authentic looking real life alien that I've ever seen. It's like footage that ranges from, I think, early 50s to late 60s. And it's it's an alien being interrogated or being interviewed by the KGB. It's really super cool. And the people that put this video together were good enough to include the links. I have a favor to ask you, Brad. Could you possibly click on that first link next to the right of that where it says KGB aliens and show us through the live video?
No. Okay, so yeah, the video has basically a gray alien with a very large head, and
the camera's panning up to show his whole body,
and it has very large, you know, like the almond-shaped black eyes, but the brain in this thing must be absolutely enormous. I mean, it's oversized in comparison to the rest of its body.
Didn't it look very authentic to you?
Kind of. It's hard to tell because the face didn't really move. It's one of those things where if you know about the Uncanny Valley, what I mean by that, it's the difficulty that 3D animation had in simulating a human face and the different micro movements that the face makes as it speaks, as it emotes. The Uncanny Valley it makes people uneasy when they see something that is supposed to be presented as semi-realistic, but when they watch it, it doesn't move quite right. So it makes you uneasy and nervous. That face of that alien seemed like that, but you know, it's an alien. Mm-hmm. So maybe it obviously probably doesn't move like a human face.
Yeah. And so of all the videos I've ever seen though, it seems to be the most realistic. Maybe they're just, it's the best put together fake video.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch on two more of the pieces of footage in this video. The second one is of an alien interview done by members of Project Blue Book from 1964. And they described this one as an actual interview, and they used pictograms, or they used... I don't know if you've seen... You haven't seen Arrival yet, right?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, in this video, they said that they figured out a way of communicating with each other using shapes. And I didn't think this one was as convincing looking as the KGB video. It looked a little bit more fake, looked a little bit more like it's a mask on somebody's head.
Yeah. And to be honest, I think that I've seen that video presented as a project that somebody had done.
Oh, really? Okay.
That it was not real.
Okay. All right. So I will wrap it up by touching on one more. It was number one on their list. It was Ancient Alien. And it was footage of, I think, the Russians again, discovering an alien body in a Egyptian pyramid back in, I want to say, the 1950s or 60s.
What?
Yeah, and it looks really authentic. It looks like an actual real alien, but who knows? It could also be faked again, because especially it not being a moving alien, just a body of an alien, you could fake that a lot easier. So, but who knows? Could be real. Could finally prove the whole ancient alien theory. They say it was carbon dated to like a long time before Christ, like way, way, way back.
Yeah, they're saying a 13,000-year-old sarcophagus.
Okay. Anyways, that's my pick this week. It's the five freakiest leaked videos of aliens and alien life. It's very short, about 5 minutes. No, I want to say 12 minutes or so. And but it's a easy watch, and we'll have the link to it. I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 flying saucers.
Nice.
So what do you got?
Well, I have a little something that I watched that is from the National Geographic series called The Truth Behind. This was filmed 2011, and this was called The Truth Behind UFOs. Now, the interesting thing about this is it was voiced by Peter David, who was the fifth Doctor.
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting overview of the history of UFOs. It goes back to, they open with the story of Bob Lazar, who is a physicist who, worked with the Area 51 team. And he came out nationally and said, yeah, there are craft at Area 51. Some of them are alien. Some of them are ours. And he was charged with trying to reverse engineer some of their propulsion systems, which is very interesting. And then we get to meet Alex Potovich, who is a UFO hunter, and he and his group and some other UFO hunting groups go to the mailbox which is the famous mailbox in the middle of nowhere that is near Area 51. And they set up before sunset and they do a recording over Area 51 and just to see if they can see UFOs. Not necessarily they're looking for saucers, but just unidentified objects that are flying over Area 51. Now, the interesting thing about it is this Alex Potovich mentions that because they are near Area 51, there's usually a guard that will usually come out and just check to see what everybody's doing. He presents it very as a matter of factly, but you know, were I the new guy coming to this thing, I would hope I was wearing brown trousers, quite honestly. I'd be a little intimidated, a little scared. It's about 45 minutes. But it's a very interesting overview of the kind of the race that Russia and the United States had to make their own form of flying saucer. You know, the more I dig into the history of the Cold War and everybody trying to outdo each other for getting into space and getting to the moon and then making their own UFOs, just a very crazy pissing match, for lack of a better term. But yeah, there you go. I would give it, you know, mostly for the historical aspects of it. It's kind of a factual overview. It's not really, it's more objective than subjective, which is always nice to see.
So they don't really jump to a lot of conclusions. They just lay it out there for what do you think kind of thing.
Yep. Here it is. Here's some of the history. Here's some of the people that were kind of important to this. Here are some people who are continuing to hunt UFOs, and they just lay it out. And it's really interesting. And because of that, I would give it 4 out of 5 stars.
In review, we had Brad's thing he just talked about, The Truth Behind UFOs from 2011. And you had my video, 5 Freakiest Leaked Videos of Aliens and Alien Life. And of course, we'll put the links in the show notes. You can check them out for yourself.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
So that's going to do it for this edition of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. We would like to thank Monkey Warhol for giving us our intro music, the song Alien Syndrome. Find out more about his stuff at monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also to Retward von Dernberg, a thank you to him, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about Retward at his website, The Caravelle, thecaravelle.net, thecaravelle.net. And finally, thanks to Ben Olson.
Hi, Ben.
For recording our disclaimer audio at the very start of this episode. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Before we go, final thought, Brad.
I'm prepared this time.
All right.
Say, I just created a new podcast.
Ooh.
And actually, I do mention an alien in it.
Oh.
It is called Timelines, and it's a under 15-minute overview of a comic book character. And I do not favor any particular Marvel, DC, whatever. I do both. And when I have a little bit more of a resource for some other independent comics, in other words, I need to like actually dig into my archive of 6,000 comics and you know, go dig into my Kamiko stuff and some of these other companies. But essentially, I promise to give you an overview of a comic book character, hit the highlights, hit the origin in under 15 minutes. I figured as more comic book based TV shows and movies are coming out, that that might not be a bad thing to do. And people usually ask me, hey, what about this character? So just seemed the right thing to do.
You'll be watching like Supergirl or The Flash, and they'll introduce somebody. And I'm always the kind of person that jumps to Wikipedia or jumps online just to see what the backstory is. And you've got that covered for us.
Yes. Yes, I do.
And I have to say, it's very well produced.
Oh, well, thank you very much. A number of people contributed to that. Your wife being one of them. So 15 minutes or less, you can learn about a comic book character.
All right. So is it going to be weekly, bi-weekly? What's the release schedule?
Because it is under 15 minutes, weekly.
All right. Cool. Your new podcast will be up on iTunes, and people can subscribe there or through Google Play Music or wherever you find fine podcasts. All right. Thank you, Brad. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next time, have a fantastic week.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's gncasts.com.